All right, Olamour by Erasure, which I am very, very fond of, and so is my guest, and this relates to what we're going to be talking about today. Again, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives. I'm your host, Greg Bossin, and welcome. So we're at 89.3 FM on your dial, and if not, hopefully you're streaming this. So what are we going to talk about today? It's an interesting topic. I'm going to start by reading something. The fag hag. Never were two more scornful words so spectacularly smashed together. Stereotypes around the fag hag, fruit fly, fish, handbag, whatever you'd care to call her, abound. If you search the internet, you'd believe that she's a sad, overweight, trashy woman with lots of cats, unable to snag her own boyfriend or husband. Derision comes from queer quarters almost as often as from the straight quarters. However, a closer examination of the history of the everyday fag hag, which, by the way, I cannot stand that term, and we will not be saying it again after I read this, but and her references to, anyway, examination of her and references in pop culture reveals a more subversive and courageous figure. These women have gone from beards who hide their gay friends' sexuality, and we'll talk about that in a second. It has to do with the history of these women, to fashionable best friends epitomized by Grace in a TV series, Will and Grace, which recently has been revived. So this article that I read, which is written by Dr. Phoebe Hart, and she is an academic and a documentary producer of Handbag, the untold story of the fag hag, which, again, I cannot stand that term. But basically, it just is talking about the relationships and the women that gay men often are friends with. And I know that that's very personal to me. I had a very close friend, and she is here tonight, actually, to talk about the nature of our relationship. So really what I want to talk about today is I want to basically explore this relationship that gay men have with straight women, and not so much how it evolved over history, although I will talk about that for a second, but I want to do it just by example, and I want to talk about my relationship with my friend Jenny. So Jenny Maddox is here, and I think people should be able to hear you. So why don't you say hello, Jenny? We'll make sure everyone can hear you.
Hello, world.
I think that works. I think that works. Here, I'm probably too loud, so I need to turn this down. All the people say that I'm loud. Anyway, you sound pretty good, Jenny.
Yeah.
All right. So how are you feeling tonight?
I feel good. I have a cold, so sorry if I cough a little in there. Sorry.
Jenny laughs a lot, so you'll enjoy that. I thought what we would do, first of all, just to let you know, Jennifer and I have been friends for 36 years, I think it was. Something like that.
High school.
And since high school. And I'm 53 now, and she's
53 also.
Okay, yeah, she's 53. So we both grew up in Atlanta, and we've been friends forever. So I thought that I would explore the topsy-turvy turns in our relationship. And so I thought I would have Jenny on the show to do that. So I'm kind of excited about that. There's one thing I want to talk about before we go any further, though, Jenny. And I kind of looked up the etymology of the term, so which it's not hard to try and figure out what it means. But I think the first thing we probably want to talk about is why that term, and this will be the last time I say it, fag hag is so horrific.
Right.
Which
I, too, think that is horrific. Yeah. I hate that word.
Yeah, why?
Well, because it's so derogatory to the woman. First of all, I hate the word fag, and then hag.
Right,
hag. I mean, it's so horrible. It's like the person, it makes you feel like this woman is unattractive.
Right.
And just a hag. Can't get anybody to pay attention. And then it's like, oh, well, because fags aren't good, that's the only kind of guy that this woman can can get attention.
Yeah, which and, I think is one of the stereotypes.
Right. So I hate it. I really... And you and I, that's not us.
No.
And so... I just have never understood that word.
Yeah, and I think...
And where it developed from, really, when you think about it. Like, who came up with that?
Well, it's an American word. Of course. And I couldn't find the specifics of when it was first used, but it was always used. It was used originally as a derogatory word. And but I couldn't find the...
But who started that? Yeah. Would it have been straight men?
Trying to define
a woman?
I don't know. It's a good question. I did find on Reddit, though, a thread, and this was a few years back that he was doing this, but somebody was trying to find a new name because they didn't like the name either.
Right.
And so there were people that were suggesting other names, and one of them was Fruit Fly, which I also think is horrible.
Well, first of all,
that means I'm a fruit.
Right.
And it means you're a fly.
And the fly is like the lowest insect.
Right.
Or like
and you're just this tiny little thing circling around the fruit.
Right.
It's very demeaning. So let's just get rid of that word altogether. But then I heard flame dame. Somebody used the word female accomplices, which doesn't necessarily sound negative, but frankly, it's just too long. You know?
Yeah.
And then finally, somebody who was really smart said, why don't you just use the word friend?
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what we are.
Right.
What we have been.
Right. So I thought that was interesting. The one other thing that I did want to say just about the term, originally women that befriended men, and this would have been in the 50s or the 60s, even earlier, they were referred to, women that befriended gay men and hung out with them were called beards. And the reason why is because, in a sense, it was a disguise for the man who couldn't be gay. And so he would have a woman as his company. And so basically she would, in effect, be his disguise, like a beard.
Right.
Which is, I guess, a beard is a masculine
image. That makes sense.
Image.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I don't think anybody uses it anymore. So,
yeah.
So, all right. So... And that first song, by the way, is a song that Jenny and I used to listen to all the time back. I guess it was big in the 80s, in the early
80s. Right, the 80s, that's right.
Yeah, when we used to go out to the bars.
Yeah, we did.
So we are, I guess I wanted to start by just kind of saying, you know, where we are now. So, again, we've been friends for 36 years, and I don't know, will you want to say it? You're married, you have three kids.
Right, I have three boys, 19, 16, and 13.
Yeah.
And I've been married for 25 years.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Right.
And you've been there alongside me, you know, the whole way as my friend.
Yes.
And before that, we had a different kind of relationship because, I mean, do we want to start?
Yeah,
the very
whatever
beginning?
You want
to
do.
So kind of in the beginning, you know, I got to know Greg, you know, in high school. You know, but the weird thing about us with friendship, I was a friend from afar. Like I knew of him, and I hung out in the same circles, but it really wasn't until we were seniors in high school that we got to be friends.
Yeah,
it was just one evening or something, I think we were hanging out and we started talking and we realized, you know, that we just meshed. You know, we just.
Well,
we had a good rapport. We just really...
I remember graduation.
Yeah, graduation.
You know, that graduation night.
We hung out. We went to the parties. And we were like... Oh, because we were like the goody-goody kids that never went to the parties. And this was our one night to go partying.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. Yeah. Hanging out. And then
For me... and I thought what might be interesting is just to see the difference in, like, what you were experiencing versus
me. Sure,
right. And I remember... You know, I was gay. I was in the closet. I hadn't come out yet. Jenny, you know, you had no idea.
I had no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
And for me, and that night in particular, I was petrified. Because,
really?
Yeah, because I hadn't come out of the closet yet. I was very popular in high school. And basically my whole self-worth was tied up in that popularity.
And we were graduated, so it was over with.
It was over with.
So now we're starting the new world.
Right, and everybody was basically focused on sex or finding somebody to be with. I mean, you know, your hormones are going crazy. And so I was not prepared. I didn't feel like I could do that with men. I didn't necessarily want to do it with a woman, but I was also, I like being around people. I didn't want to be alone, you know? So that's how I felt that night, but it was so, it was almost instantaneous that night. It, to me, is when I feel like me and you really started hanging out. Cause I think we hung out that summer all the time.
We did. We hung out. We went to the Limelight. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
We got all dressed up and went dancing together, and we had so much fun.
We did. And for those of you that don't know, the Limelight,
that's true.
It's next to the Kroger that's in Buckhead, which people call the Disco Kroger. It's the one on Piedmont, near Piedmont, Peachtree and Buckhead. And they call it that because of that bar that was right next door, the Limelight.
Yeah, it was very, very popular.
Yes.
And it was the place to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we went there, and I wore wet red parachute pants.
I remember that.
Gray capizios.
I remember that.
But now, I mean, and this is a little bit awkward, but like,
what was I feeling?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, I was madly in love with Greg. I was head over heels. I just loved him, and I thought that our relationship, not knowing that he was, I didn't know he was gay. So I just thought this wonderful guy was giving me all this attention, and we were going out, we were going dancing, and so for me, I was just so excited. You know, I mean, the world was at our feet, and we were young and about to go to college. He was going to go to Emory, and I was going to Georgia Southern. So we just, that whole summer, we just, you know, went out all the time. I mean, and at the end, and you don't remember this, at the end, he kissed me. And he says, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
For me, it was like, you know, it was just like the culmination of all my feelings and everything. I mean, it was just there was tongue involved. There was a kiss. And, but then that was like the end of the summer. And then I went off to Georgia Southern thinking in my heart, oh, I have this person that, you know.
Did you feel like we were dating at that
yes,
point?
Yes, I did.
And we never discussed it. I have to take a quick break to do a little announcement here. So we'll be right back in 2 seconds, and then we'll continue this very exciting adventure of a gay man and his female friend. All right. And we're back. You're listening to 89.3 FM, WRFG on your dial. And I am Greg Bossen, Alternative Perspectives. And we're speaking with definitely my best friend. And we've been friends 36 years, and talking about the relationship that we've had as a way of talking about the bigger relationships that happen between gay men and their straight female friends. So you were saying you thought we were dating, basically.
Right, I did, especially after the kiss.
I never said anything. Like,
no, it was just kind of like, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that would be the next step, you know. And so, you know, that I just made that assumption. But then, of course, I went away to school, and you were at school, too. So I wasn't, like, thinking about it all the time. You know, it was like a nice, you know, I just felt good about it. And
yeah. We talked almost every day when I was at Emory and you were.
Yeah. Well, now when I was at school, like at Georgia Southern, we didn't really, you know, cause you were doing your thing with Emory. It wasn't until really when I transferred, because I didn't stay at Georgia Southern. I transferred, like after about 2.5 years, I started going to Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you were about to graduate. I was on the extended plan with college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So it would have been my senior year, but it was your senior year.
Yeah.
You were ready because you felt so uncomfortable. The way I remember it is you were in that fraternity and you couldn't be yourself. And
right.
So when I transferred back to Atlanta and was living in Atlanta, it was I felt like I was, you know, we were just such close friends, and then we would, every day we would see each other.
Yeah, we were together every day. And I mean, what was happening for me is I had a, God, this sounds so sad, but I had a fairly like miserable college experience. I wasn't out of the closet. I didn't come out of the closet until I graduated from Emory, and my fraternity brothers, it was a very homophobic environment, and there was somebody else in the fraternity, Paul Goldberg, a friend of ours, who he was seen at the gay bars, and so they started they started rumors about him. I mean, it was horrible what they did to him, and so I was like, well, I don't feel supported at all for coming out. This is just not going to happen. And so, and this is where I feel kind of bad, because I knew that you liked me.
Right.
And I guess I was just desperately trying to hold on to something.
Yeah.
And, you were, you know, in addition to being so fun to be around, because we are so much alike and just mesh together, you know, you were there.
Right.
You know, and you were like somebody that I could be with, because I mean, everything else in my life was just kind of on hold, that whole sexuality part of my life.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, I was just clinging, you know, and it felt to me like I guess I wasn't ready to come out, but also it felt like if I came out, you know, you would leave, you know, you would find somebody else. But
right.
A real relationship, not a manufactured one.
Right.
And then I wouldn't, and then I'd be alone, you know, and it's not like I had this consciously in my head at that time. I'm looking back on it though.
Core of our relationship, we were friends.
I mean,
that's what has held us together, is that friendship.
Yes.
You know, for me, you know, you kind of, during that time, you really opened up a whole world for me, because that was when he took me to places called weekends. And it was, for me, it was like, what is this place? Because it was...
This was before I came out to you.
Right.
I should say.
Was before. This was during that year when you and I were inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
We would go, we would eat dinner, and mm-hmm. then on the weekends, we would go to weekends.
So that would have been like 1987 or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
1986, something like
yeah,
that. Right, and before I came out.
Right. And, you know, weekends, if you don't know what weekends is, it was just the most... It was the coolest place to go to, because not only was there...
It's a 24-hour bar.
It was 24 hours.
On Peachtree in Midtown.
And the music was incredible, but there was gay people, there was straight people, there was bi. I mean, there was people that just dressed in costumes. Remember, like, some of the outfits? And
mm-hmm.
So for me, this was, I mean, a world that I had never been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, and I guess the reason, I mean, how did we even discover it?
I found out from a fraternity brother who was not gay, he was straight, but he was really into music, and it was
right.
a cool place to go. It was 24
right.
hours a day, you know, a night. And so he turned me on to it. So then I was like, well, I want to go here with Jenny, you know? So we
right.
would go, and we didn't do any drugs or anything.
No,
we didn't even really
no.
drink.
No, we just went there to dance.
Yeah.
And of course, look at everybody around us.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like, I'd never been exposed to, I'd never seen, you know, a man kiss another man, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was all around me. And I mean, I had no problem with it at all, you know.
And we
I
mean, have to mention the famous person that we met.
Oh, right? And then we met RuPaul.
He worked the door, didn't he?
He had his sets there.
Mm-hmm.
He had his sets there, and he would have shows, and, mm-hmm. and that's where we saw him for the first time.
Sharon, come on in here.
It's so interesting to hear y'all talk about this, because that was right before I moved from Appalachian State. Mm-hmm. And in Boone, North Carolina. And the thing that's so interesting is hearing your story and seeing it mirrored in ways, even in my life, that my roommate for over 10 years, who now doesn't speak to me, but anyway.
That's another show.
yeah. And the thing that's so interesting is that we met through this crazy friend of his who basically was like, well, how do you feel about that guy you hang around with? And I was like, well, he's cool. And so he was like, oh, well, you know, he's gay. And I was like, whatever. And I wasn't out then. I wasn't even, you know, I didn't have a traumatic out story. And when I came out, I was just out. It was like, oh, okay, well. But I wasn't out then. I wasn't even in the closet then. I just was trying to live my life with some freedom. But so he, when me and this roommate met, it was like instant. And we did. We hung together all the time. And so I may have acted somewhat like a straight girl, but I didn't hang. I rarely went to bars with them because I couldn't deal with the sort of negative stuff that went on, the sort of women hating and not saying that gay men are women hating, but using women the other side of like having a queer peer or having a friend, a gay man and straight women friendship was that kind of like, you know, the piece where these guys would say these like incredibly negative things and they would use these women to be like down on how they would dress and how they would just, you know, they knew as well that these women liked them. And a couple of my friends that hung with gay men, they truly did like them and fell in love with them. And I was just like, really? That's just going to be a hard thing for you. And they inevitably got disappointed. But hearing from your point of view, from both of y'all point of view as friends, that your foundation of friendship was there. So
it was. And you know, kind of like with what happened, you know, so we would go out dancing and you know, we were both going to school, mm-hmm. and then Greg finally did graduate. Of course, I was still, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do.
I want to say one thing real quick. Just sure. One of those nights when we went out to that, and I'll just have this seared in my brain. And I feel guilty saying this even now, but one of the nights that we were dancing at weekends, and it's me and you, and we're dancing, and there was this guy there that I thought was really, really hot. And, you know, understand, I hadn't come out, so I'm the straight person mm-hmm. supposedly right. dancing. But I did hands, like, me and him held hands, like, behind my back while I was dancing with you. Uh-huh. And it was just, like, the epitome of me. And it was just, like, that was my, like, first time ever even Whoa. Touching.
Really? You never told me
no,
about that?
No, of course I never told
right,
you, you know.
Right.
But what I want to hear, well, go ahead and finish what you were going to say, and then I have a question for you, Jenny.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, just... So kind of like once you graduated, you know, and I was still kind of going to school and stuff, but everything kind of changed then in our relationship because you then, you know, you were about to start your big job that you had gotten and you got a waiter job, remember, at that Grady's place?
Yeah.
And so Greg, I mean, you were about to step out into your new world. I had no idea what was going on. All I knew was you were going away from me. It was like, you know, normally we would do stuff every single day, and all of a sudden he would go to work, and he'd go off with his friends from work.
Which was one friend.
Yeah, but, I mean, for me, it was like, uh-oh, what's going on? I mean, you know, I was so vested, and you know, I felt like, you know, I always felt like I always saw the future that we would get married. It's kind of what I always thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the beginning of me finding out that you were gay.
It took a minute because, you can tell, you know, that story because I would come back late at night and she would have been like, because we lived together.
We did. We shared. Yeah, cool. Like it was like you know, that was kind of like a temporary situation.
Right after I graduated college, I moved in with you and your roommate, Jill. So there was three of us in there. And so, but at the exact same time when I move in, that's the time that I got my very first job before mm-hmm. my real job. I was a waiter. And I found the one gay waiter in the entire restaurant, Chocolate. Somehow there was only one. But anyway, so he took me out. So I would go out with him
right.
and leave you. And I couldn't tell you where I was.
Exactly. And I'll never forget one night I was... He came home, and I guess I was like the mother going, where are you? You know, and you were just like the teenage boy, like, hey, and you got really mad at me.
Because I felt I didn't want to, I basically didn't want to tell you where I was.
Right.
But I basically, like, I masked it by being angry.
Right, you did, you did. And that's when he threw a coffee table through the wall. So but, I mean, it was very interesting.
We were having, I know that sounds like I'm an abusive person,
no,
and I'm not. But
he was just angry because I was like, where have you been? Because I was totally devastated.
Well, you were
like,
mad, though.
I was mad, yeah. And I was like, I don't understand what's happening. Because, you know, you got to think from my perspective, we had done, I mean, pretty much, I would say, for a year straight, every single day we were together doing something, and all of a sudden it was gone. And so, yeah.
And so it was in one.
Wow.
But I do want to, let me just say one thing in case you're curious about the table.
So, right.
Because we're in the living room,
it
and
was so
she, you were in the bed, you'd gone into the bedroom, and yeah. I was so frustrated with, I guess, the whole experience because, I think I probably felt incredibly guilty. And I wasn't ready to tell you, but this was the first time that I was ever really being able to do what I wanted to do, and
right.
I was getting all of this pushback from my best friend, but, you know, it was a very selfish, I wasn't thinking what your experience was. So in my frustration, I picked up a coffee,
very lightweight.
Yeah, it was like a coffee table, and I picked it up, and I threw it. Well, but the walls were so thin in this apartment that the legs lodged themselves
and went through.
They went through the wall and then pierced it,
and it hung there.
And it hung there. So then,
so
and in the
funny.
Middle, but in the middle of this awful, it was a horrible fight. Obviously, I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God! And I went and I said, Jenny, come out here, take a look at this. And she looked, and I think we both laughed.
It was hilarious. Oh, so funny. Because there it was hanging, you know, on the wall. It was hilarious.
What
That's
did you,
amazing.
What
yeah, did you I have a question for both of you.
Okay.
Did you, Jenny, at one time, did you hear people like, oh, your friend's gay?
No.
You didn't get
it. He, in high school, you know, really the only people that, like, he just... No, he was not thought of as gay.
I don't know why.
And I know. Yeah. Well,
I'm not exactly.
But you were
a
so
master.
Popular, and you were very charismatic, and you know, you
Which
were
is
in that
so gay.
I mean,
you're so gay.
Yeah. But nobody. I had no inkling at all. And so even like when this temporary living situation, I still had no idea. It wasn't until. I started going to the University of Georgia that you told me.
Well, and
had to tell her.
He told me. He did. Go ahead.
And what I want to do, I want to break for a second.
Okay.
And just break for a second. When I come back, that's what I really want to focus on. I want to focus on like what that experience
sure.
It was like for you. And how you dealt with it. So that's kind of where we're going to go next. But first, we're going to take just a little bit of a break. And this is 89.3 FM on your dial, Alternative Perspectives. We'll be back. We are back. You are listening to Alternative Perspectives. This is 89.3 FM Atlanta. I'm Greg Bossen, and we are discussing the intricacies of the relationships between gay men and their straight female friends, and we're doing it by example. I am here, Greg Bossen. I'll be the gay man, and then Jennifer Maddox is representing the female friend, because that's what we are. So for those of you that just turned in, we've been friends for 36 years. And so we've been kind of talking about the evolution of our relationship. So what I wanted to ask you was, you know, we met in high school, we were in college, we graduated college. That's when I came out.
You graduated. I had not.
Right. All right. All right. And so, how did you say, and this is so awful, but I don't remember telling you.
I remember it very well.
So how did that go? How did
we were on North Druid Hills Road in a car going over the overpass bridge. And you're like, you look at me and you're like, what was that friend of yours? Meg.
Meg and Sean.
Yeah, you said, Meg's gay, and I am too. And I was like,
oh, the gay bus.
I had to have somebody
you
else.
Had somebody else. And I was like, well, I'm not. And I mean that at that point, it was just like, you know, for me, it was just, it was mind-blowing. Because my heart was broken, you know, because my heart. I mean, you had my heart. I mean, I was in love with you. And thank God that I was going to Georgia, because I was able to go away. And
you left pretty soon after
that?
Yeah,
I did. And
do you remember what happened? I mean, this might be crazy, but like
that
night?
Well, I remember, because I had another friend that was gay, Tripp. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember
that
him.
I worked with at National Data. And I was talking on the phone, because I was just blown away. I mean, I was just like,
were we going home from somewhere?
I think you were dropping me home, and then I was getting ready to go back to school. And I think I had been going to school, and I was home on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then you just, boom. And so for me, I mean, I was just, you know, oh my gosh. And so I told Tripp, and Tripp, you know, had been out and was gay, very good friend of mine. And he just, I don't know if I ever told you this, he drove from, I think he lived in Athens. Where did he live? I lived in Athens. I guess he lived in Atlanta, and because he moved away. Mm-hmm. But he drove for like an hour and a half to Athens to be with me.
Oh, wow.
Because he understood how devastated and how I was just blown away. And we just talked all night about what it meant that you were gay, you know, and just how I felt, because he knew that I was in love with you. And so that was a very clear memory of mine, that he really helped me a lot, because he just helped calm me down. Not that I was like, hysterical. I mean, it's just, I was upset.
Well, I guess, stupidly, this idea that it wouldn't be so upsetting because it wasn't personal. Like, you know, because if I had been straight, we would have been together. But that's kind of, I don't know, it's a myopic way of looking at it. And it kind of discounts the, oh, by the way, you know, you have feelings for me, and what do you do with those feelings?
Right.
So, and I guess, and I was wondering about this, and Jeffrey, my partner, wanted me to ask you, like, was there a cooling off period? Because I think there was.
I think there was, because it's hard. This has been many, many years ago, but, I remember, you know, because I was very upset. And so, but the thing, because I was away at Georgia and I was working on my degree and everything, I think that was good for me. And I was making new friends. You know, if I had been in Atlanta still, I think I really would have had a hard time. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I was there helped me.
How long before you felt like you were ready to? Because eventually you came out with me.
And right. Well, I don't know. See, that's what I don't really. I think it was like as soon as like I had a break.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I talked later. Like after, I mean, after you told me, mm-hmm. then you and I talked. And so then I would go out with you to the armory is what I remember going out to. Do you know? The armory, yes.
How many days passed before you talked again?
Oh, gosh.
Because I think it was a weekend. You had come home for the weekend,
right,
and I think that's
home.
When I told you.
You told me, and then I went back.
Yeah.
And that's when my friend came to talk with me, and then I had to you know, go to school. And
was it weeks, do you think? Or
I want to say it was like Christmas break when we started, like, that's when you kind of started taking me out to.
No, but how long between told you and when we started going out?
Oh, gosh, probably, I would say a couple of months.
Yeah, because we had the semester.
I had to process. I had to process what had happened. And I mean, it could have gone one of two ways. I could have just been like, see you later, you know.
Yeah.
But you were my, I mean, you were my best friend.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I was.
And the friendship was the core for me, mm-hmm. you know. So I, you know, you took me on a journey to your life.
Because you wanted to go out.
I wanted to
see,
yeah. And you would, you took me, I mean, it's not that I wanted to do that. I did it for you. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be in your life anymore. Yeah. And so I had to adjust. Mm-hmm. I had to adjust.
And you were single still.
I was single.
At that time.
I wasn't. I mean, I had my friends that I would go out with at college. It was, you know, it was kind of, you know, I never would meet anybody. I just, you know, I'd go out. And it was frustrating for me. So the bar scene wasn't the best scene for me. But when I would go out with you, I would have a blast because the music was awesome and everybody was so friendly and nice. And I would always end up interviewing all of Greg's friends. I would talk and I would get to know them. And I mean, I never felt uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I always felt accepted.
Well, that's
I
was going to ask you that because there are.
I made a lot of connections, didn't I? I mean, people love to see
me.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
They were like,
but Sharon speaks to something that does happen, and that there are certain, I think, really bars, certain places where there is a lot of like women hating going on.
I never felt that. I never did that at the Armory, at Backstreet, where mm-hmm. we would go. I always felt. Like people wanted to know me, you know, mm-hmm. too. You know, it was like, I mean, of course, you know, it was you were on the lookout to meet somebody, but you know, for me, I was getting to know people
mm-hmm.
and talk to them, and you know, I never felt, you know, I never felt like that word fag hag. I never felt that when I was there.
Mm. Yeah.
And not that I was in that. I mean, if we talk about that role, I was there as your friend. I was getting to know your new life that, you know, and like I said, I had to make adjustments because normally we would be going out to other types of bars, but, you know.
Right, right.
So, now, I would say that the few times I actually did go to gay bars with some of my gay male friends, I would... You know, I would think about in terms of like the women that were there who were lesbian, and it'd be really interesting because in watching it as a social scientist, which I was very much into at the time, sociology and how people relate, that it does create this sort of interesting sort of thing with lesbians. And lesbians and gay men are not necessarily known to hang together as friends.
Yeah.
And it's definitely... and I think one of the reasons was that bars that were safe, for lack of a better word, for gay men were basically not necessarily safe for lesbians because... With gay men bring their straight women friends, there would be times when these women would be like, "Oh, but I'm no lesbian," and it'd be the lesbian phobia in those spaces.
Well, I did. It's funny you say that because when I remember being there, I was approached by a lesbian, and did I tell you about that? And she was like, "Hey, you know, can I have your number?" I'm like, no, that's fine. I'm not, you know. I mean, it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a phobia. I was
right.
I was like, oh, somebody thought I was attractive. I was like, thank you.
but it's like, you know, when you go into a gay bar as a man and it's a gay bar, pretty much you, especially then, there are more straight dudes that will end up in gay bars, honestly, than there have been.
Really?
But then, oh, yeah. But then, and mainly because they're lesbian friends, you know, if the bars are not separate.
The ones that we went to, because it was the Armory and right. Backstreet, I think it was more for the gay man.
Yeah,
but Backstreet definitely is a bar that everyone was invited to because of the fact that it was also late at night and people would get off of their jobs and go to Backstreet. And, you know, much like weekends, but it was known as, you know, a gay bar. But
right.
There were some straight men that rolled up in there, not the typical straight male, but some straight men. But it wasn't necessarily a place where lesbians could feel that they let their guard down. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that there were straight women there. And I say this as a person at that time that was not thinking about, well, I was kind of, but was not necessarily in the closet, but wasn't straight. Right. I was on my way to not being straight. And I remember one time being in the bathroom, because I did go with these guys to the bar and me and this other woman. And I was just talking about some women that if I was a lesbian, I would so like this person, which I did actually like this person.
So you were kind of like fishing for
him. Yeah, you know, I was saying, and then this woman came out of the, you know, out of the stall, and she looked like, oh, you straight women. You know, she kind of looked and kept it moving. And then I was, you know, the hindsight thing is looking back now, I was like, yeah, she probably was just annoyed by that, you know, the straight women and this one gay bar in this place that she should be able to go to feel, you know, comfortable, relaxed, and whatever, and couldn't because of the straight women.
Now, I never got that because I was there with you.
Right.
And so, I just think that what's interesting about it is that with gay men and gay women having issues with people that aren't like them in their space, I think is troubling. It's problematic, and it misses the point. I mean, I do understand, you know, we didn't have any other place to go in those days, but I never really had a problem, and I still don't have a problem, you know, if I'm out somewhere at a gay bar and there's straight women or lesbians. But I know, like, at some bars are harder than others. For women, like the Heretic in Atlanta is a tough bar for a woman to go to.
Well, it depends. Like, and then you're getting into, like, the Heretic was also it had a lot of leather to it.
Mm-hmm.
And leather men are pretty much more, women would feel more accepted. Even though, especially leather women, because, you know, the Eagle be rolling with some straight.
Oh no! You took me
women.
To the Eagle one time. I'll never forget that.
Yes. What did you think?
Oh,
about
I
that?
Remember. We walked in that place, and I was like, "Greg, that guy doesn't have he had pants,
chaps.
But the
his butt was
his butt, butt was showing.
Yeah, so he had on a chap.
And I was like, huh. It was a different clientele that was going there.
Yeah,
Greg took me everywhere. He gave me a great education in the.
But what was neat about it is, and I guess I just want to end with this because we just have a couple of minutes left. But this idea that women that hang out with gay men are doing so because they're unable to find
right.
their own relationships. I mean, I suppose, you know, there's always people that are in every stereotype that exists. There's somebody that actually is that stereotype, but it certainly isn't what happened with you. I mean, you
right.
met,
yeah,
you met
I met
Wes.
Yeah, I met him like shortly. you know, I met him like, gosh,
it was almost the next year or two.
Yeah,
it was early
year I met him, and mm-hmm. then we were involved, and he even, I think he went to some gay
yeah,
bars with
to
us too.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it was, you know, it was great. I mean,
well, how did that change your friend, besides the obvious, but at the foundation of your your friendship is that y'all were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime there's a new person that comes into the space, then there is some sort of processing, even if it's straight couples or anything. So add on a component of heterosexual woman and gay male, and the heterosexual woman finally gets some, well, you know, I don't mean finally in some way, but finds that person in their life.
Well, they got along so great. That was what was so wonderful is they, Greg and Wes, have always had a great, good friendship.
Yeah, he was always very accepting of me, and I think that made it easier.
Which was great that he was open-minded.
But I do want to acknowledge that, you know, there was a piece of me that felt like, oh, my God, you know, I'm really on my own now. Well, you know, because she was always my sidekick.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I think that's why I was kind of such a jerk on your wedding day.
Yeah, I remember that. I was going to say that.
You were a jerk.
He was. It was just, it was hard for him because I was, you know, it was, you know, this was, my life was going in a different direction.
Right.
And we were not going to be as close.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, luckily our friendship has survived so much and, you know, even with marriage and children, you know, I work with Greg. I mean, so it's really turned into just incredible.
Well, it's been wonderful. And I think that I did need to kind of, we spent less time together while you were, you know, in your relationship at the beginning and I was, you know, exploring my newfound, you know, life. But, you know, we've come back together.
Yeah.
But, definitely. All right, well, we've got like 40 seconds left. So I want to end with by thanking you so much, Jenny.
Sure.
And
this
thank
was
you
wonderful.
For coming in, Sharon. I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Thank you for listening to Alternative Perspectives. I'm Greg Bossen. And next week, actually, we're going to be discussing asexuality, which is something that rarely gets discussed. And I thought it would be interesting to have a little convo about that. So until next week.